Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The third action item is a recommendation at the request of Commissioner Hoffberger to schedule a discussion on the 3-6 agenda to discuss the county administrator's contract.
So following the six-month review clause in Wes's contract, the obligation of the commission to provide notice and the previous procedures from the last changeover with county admin, I am asking my colleagues to put his contract on the agenda for the next meeting, and we can take up discussion then.
Here we go. So Ashley Hoffberger, fairly new county commissioner for District 4, although she was there a couple of months before the election, of course, and now she's actually the elected District 4 after, remember, Robert Bender got, you know, taken away and put in the job of the supervisor of elections, and they didn't have a District 4 commissioner for, like, what, 9 months, I think? And anyway, so she's there now. District 4 is Pensacola Beach plus the eastern half of Escambia County, the city of Pensacola, and then a little bit north of there. I think it includes UWF, maybe not quite all of UWF, but up in that direction. Anyway, so she says, hey, let's talk about leadership. I got elected to make changes, and I want to talk about Wes Moreno's contract. And I don't really have a good way to do this because I can't talk with all of you outside of Sunshine, so here it is. Let's put it on the next agenda for the next meeting, and let's have a conversation. Stephen Berry, Commissioner District 4 for the last 43 years. Well, I mean, 16. or is it? I guess it's 12 at this point. It'll be 16 when he's done with his term. Anyway, as he likes to say, the first four-term Republican elected official, because Lumen May is also four terms, same thing, but as a Democrat.
I would certainly be supportive of whatever issues Commissioner Hoffberger may have with the administrator. I'm very supportive of her, you know, communicating those with him. I'm not interested in having it on an agenda. I'm not going to support putting it on the agenda for the 6th for the contract to be discussed.
You remember Lundberg in Office Space? Yeah, so I'm going to need you to go ahead and not do that. I mean, I know it's not a direct quote, but that's what he's saying is, hey, look, if you want to talk to the administrator one-on-one, you're perfectly welcome to do that. Oh, how nice of him to allow her to do the thing that she is completely entitled to do already, right? You have my permission to go talk to the county administrator. Well, duh! He works for her, too. But he's not interested in putting this up on the agenda at all, which makes sense because Wes is Stephen's guy, by which I mean that, you know, he was the one that was put in after they fired Janice Gilley, which was the person that Stephen wanted in at first, and then my take, when she started to do things independently that were good for the whole county and he didn't like that she was doing the things he didn't want to do to bring accountability and reform to the county, they got rid of her right away. And then put in Wes. And there was a lot of controversy over Wes because, you know, he was way above his qualifications at the time. And they had to actually waive the qualifications for the county administrator in order to put him in the job. I like Wes. I've known him a long time. He was great at running the roads. There's been a lot of controversy around whether he is or whether he is not great at running the county. But in any case, Stephen Berry loved having him and is a, you know, when they were the three-person majority, remember Berry and Lumen May and Jeff Bergosh were the majority and, you know, Wes was their guy. And so Wes is very closely aligned with Stephen and Lumen. And I actually think that's part of the issue here is that he was so closely aligned with them and some of the big mistakes that were made in the last couple of years that I think that's part of what she's getting at. That and the $13 an hour for firemen and all that kind of stuff because she campaigned on public safety. Anyway, Lumen May says,
I'm very reluctant to ever have a public discussion about an employee because it's not like an administrator's meeting with his director. It's, you know, that's it becomes highly political to have a discussion about an administrator in a public meeting.
Agreed.
You know, and that would be very challenging. You know, if someone was dissatisfied with an administrator, I mean, they would have the right to make a motion to relieve him of their duties, you know, and, you know, however that would fall.
Which you can't say that's unacceptable on principle because that's exactly what they did with Janice Gilley. So it's not an on principle thing.
My dissatisfaction with any of the attorney or the administrator, I try to do those, you know, in the privacy of their office, you know, and without bringing it here for a public discussion.
Yeah, but how do you know that anybody else has the same concerns? I mean, it's basically a conundrum. if you're a county commissioner and you think the county administrator is maybe should go or definitely should go, what do you do? You talk to them personally and they say, okay, and then they don't do it, or they say, I can't do that, or I won't do that. I mean, whatever it is, what's your recourse at that point if you think they should go? You can't go to the other commissioners. You can't do this in private with anybody else because that'd be a violation of sunshine. You're kind of constrained by the law.
I just didn't know what your ultimate goal was in discussing that contract.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. So we are 6 months from the renewal date of the contract, and I think it would behoove us to look into the future and decide what we're going to do with that. So I wanted to bring it to the board's attention. From a business standpoint, you don't wait until 30 days out to decide if you're going to renegotiate or replace or suspend that contract. So I want to look ahead as a community.
Yeah, I mean, she's sees the renewal for his contract coming, and she wants to at least have the conversation. She didn't say anything in the meeting that I thought indicated I definitely want to get rid of Wes. She kind of hinted at some things being slow compared to what she was hoping for, but I don't know, I haven't called her to ask, and I figure if she's not willing to come out and say get rid of him in the meeting, then, you know, it's unfair to, you know, ask her to say that in some other context as well. But and she says, I don't love doing it in the open like this because it's awkward, but there's no other choice. It's a sunshine matter. She cannot have this conversation with them in private. There is no shade for the purpose of talking about the employment of the county administrator or the county attorney. You almost think that ought to be the way the law is written, though. I mean, I don't know. But then once you even have the conversation, if you could have a shade meeting about this, you still have a problem, because as soon as you have a shade meeting to discuss the county administrator's contract, well, then people are going to know that. Almost like the only way you could do it is if you had an annual requirement to have a performance evaluation and then do that in the shade. So then it's a standard meeting that has to happen and people don't know whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. And then it's forced to come up every once in a while. It would have to be a legislative change in order to make that possible. And as Mike Kohler says, we're constrained by the legislature. We can't do this.
Well, honestly, you can't. I brought this up at the ethics thing. When you guys were there, I asked the state ethics lawyer. And unfortunately, I think we should do performance evaluations on the county administrator and county attorney. But sadly, we either can do them individually or we have to do them out here and air all the dirty laundry. There's no thank you, state legislature, for that.
Yeah, he's being sarcastic about that, right? We'll come back to this in just a second. Austin Price has got traffic on the 5, sitting in for John Pickens today. Austin?
All right, looking at the roads here, we do have some backups on Highway 98. This is going to be if you're traveling westbound towards Fairfield Drive, but it's a very minor stretch of congestion, and luckily that's the worst-looking spot we have right now. Outside of that, there's not much holding you up for too long. This traffic update brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems. With the most trusted brands, expert installation, and 24/7 support, you can learn more at generatorsource.com. Andrew?
What was that?
What?
Your emphasis was so out of character.
When I'm promoting or advertising, I always try to give it that zing.
Gotcha. All right. Fair enough.
Showmanship. You're welcome for that.
You can hear Austin performing like that in the afternoon show from 4 to 7. The Pensacola right now, him and Chris do the afternoon show. All right, so Mike Kohler says, you know, thank you, legislature. We can't really do that. We're not allowed to talk to them as a group. We have to talk to them either individually or in the public, which neither of those is ideal. And part of the problem here is if you have this concern, like once you call the meeting, all of a sudden, you know, you can't tell them they're gone in a month. I mean, you got to kind of tell them they're gone and get going. But if they're gone in a month and they're coasting, they're like lame ducks. Also, as Lumen May points out, if you have a meeting about the continued employment of the county administrator, you're going to lose a lot of people just for having the meeting.
And I would say that, you know, obviously to sit here and have a discussion of Wes, I can guarantee you you got some directors and employees in here going to go put their resume out today. You know, I guarantee you. And we just brought in an IT guy. I mean, to have these discussions can certainly change the mood, the attitude of an organization. Because if I was in the C-suite and I knew that, you know, there was a discussion of my administrator, I would be looking at opportunities.
Just having this conversation, I wonder how many senior staffers thought, let's see what's out there. Let's see what's available in Okaloosa County or Santa Rosa County. Or maybe I got to cross state lines and go work in Baldwin County or, you know, Escambia in Alabama. I don't know. Then I don't even have to change my business cards except the phone number. So, you know, it's an awkward thing. So in the end, you know, Stephen Barry clearly said he wasn't interested in this. Lumen May said he wasn't interested in this. Now, where I was curious to see where this would go is the change candidates, Mike Kohler and Steve Stroberger. And I mentioned this last week that I knew this was going to come up. I knew it was on the agenda. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I could see this being a, no, we're going to keep Wes. I could see this being, you know, we have some concerns, but we're going to keep him. Or we have some concerns, so we're going to give him 3 months to fix these concerns. And I could have seen it as he's got to go. I literally had no idea how this was going to develop. And I was surprised, honestly, because I thought that Mike Kohler and Steve Stroberger might vote to at least put it on the agenda and have the conversation. But they did not do that. And so she was kind of left out there twisting in the wind. And in the end, you know, nothing got done other than, well, you can talk to him yourself.
Oh, no, I don't think you're going to get a vote today on this. I think we should move forward in the next month with each individual commissioner talking with Wes about the issues. Can you live with that? Okay. Is there any further discussion?
So is it going to come back in a couple of months before the contract is up this summer? Maybe. 620 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has got a great selection of good quality used cars. A year to 3 or 4 years old with maybe 10 to 50,000 miles on them is kind of what they specialize in. You know, cars where you get like everything that's a new car except that new car smell, basically. You know, one, maybe two people have owned it. Cars that are in good shape that they're going to warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years. Cars Dave Ramsey recommends, I recommend. Cars you see lots of bumper stickers and license plate frames around town recommending. And, you know, wide selection. If you see what you like, great, get it. If you don't see what you like exactly, tell them to go looking for it. You know, I want this in an EX, not an LX. I want this in gray, not white. You know, whatever. Or I want it with more miles or less miles because more miles means lower price, right? Send them to go look for it. They go looking for it all the time. And if you just need buying guidance, like somebody who's an expert in the field to kind of give you advice on what you should be thinking of for the price, Frontier Motors can do that for you. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary. And you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Just been feeling so sluggish lately.
You should try the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge.
The Metamucil 2-Week Challenge?
Yeah, Metamucil 4-in-1 Fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Start your daily routine now, and in 2 weeks, you could be feeling great. Well, it's been 2 weeks. How you feeling?
Lighter and feeling great.
If you want to feel lighter by promoting digestive health, sign up to take the 2-Week Challenge at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Shut up!
I don't shut up.
Shut up, I grow up. And when I look at you, I throw up.
Weezer is another one of these bands that I kind of knew the Sweater song and Island in the Sun, and I went back and started listening to a bunch of their old albums. Oh my God, so good. Outstanding stuff. 437-1620, 437-1620, it's my phone number. Somebody texts in and says, so we get rid of Jeff Bergosh, and then the three-vote block, Lumen May and Mike and Stephen Barry seems to have just added Mike Kohler to it, and now they're the clique. It looks like these guys are just not willing to work for the people as opposed to working to see what they can get. Don't judge Mike Kohler so quickly. I think Mike is trying to do his best. Steve has been trying to find his feet a little bit, and there's been a bunch of flap over the OLF 8 thing, and that was we haven't quite covered that in detail like I want to. I will probably tomorrow. But don't write off the new commissioners just yet. And I mean, you know, Mike's been there for 2 years and he's been trying. And I think his goal, if I can speak for him, is on the one hand, he wants to make reforms. Okay. On the other hand, he really wants, they want the board to function as a unit. They want the board to be collegial. They want the board to, you know, to get along. And that may or may not be possible, but it's not a terrible thing to hope for, to have your government work well. I know for those of you who are really invested in your opposition to, Commissioner Barry or Commissioner May, when they were the three-vote block before. I understand, okay, I do, and I'm well aware of the concerns. Trust me, we've talked extensively about what I consider to be the major problems that Stephen Barry has brought into this office and caused for the county. But it would be better. It would be better if the five of them could function as colleagues rather than as adversaries. Is it possible? I don't know. 625 on News Radio 92.3. Austin's got traffic on the fives. Austin?
All right. We do have some minor backups still, just in a couple of areas on Highway 98 traveling westbound towards Fairfield Drive. Also had a little bit on Palafox Street earlier this hour if you were traveling southbound towards Fairfield as well, but that has seemingly cleared out. Only other major spot is just a little tiny stretch of congestion right in front of UWF's main entrance, right where North Davis Highway splits from Scenic Highway. Outside of that, there's not much holding you up for too long. Andrew?
All right. Thanks so much, Austin. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, today marks 3 years now since Russia invaded Ukraine. Russia currently controls about 20% of Ukraine's territory. Israel is sending tanks into the occupied West Bank for the first time in 20 years. That move comes after bombs exploded on three buses outside of Tel Aviv last week. The country's defense minister says thousands of Palestinians displaced in areas targeted by the military will not be allowed to return to their homes. And Dan Bongino is going to be the next deputy director of the FBI. President Trump wrote in a post on Truth Social that Bongino is a man of incredible love and passion for our country. Bongino has served in the past as a member of the NYPD and the Secret Service. Also, of course, a former Fox News host and a very popular podcaster. Andrew, a lot of media personalities getting their federal positions now.
Maybe you could get
your own federal agency.
I try not to take a lot of time talking about other members of my industry. Dan Bongino would not have been my first choice. I like people that are tethered to the facts. I like people that are balanced, even keeled, and I don't see him being those things. I listened to him a few times. I thought, okay, I've seen what I need to see here. And I just, some people are better at giving loud opinions. Some people are better at being administrators. Some people, you know, everybody's got their skill set. Those two skill sets are not the same. I'll leave it
Absolutely.
At that for the day. He is a former Secret Service guy. By the way, this is going to sound way snarkier than I mean it to be, but you know how Elon Musk sent the give me your five bullet points of what you did last year to prove and justify your job, and then various agencies and departments have come back and said, we will or we won't comply, different ones. I think you've got the FBI has said no, the State Department has said no, the NIH has said no, Defense Department, National Security Agency, they've all said no. HHS and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid have said yes, and then Federal Bureau of Prisons we're still waiting on, I guess. So, but there's some are saying no, some are. Did the Secret Service get this email? Did Secret Service agents get told to justify their jobs? Now, I was thinking about this, how, right. You know, in the we're cutting everything, we're cutting everybody, we're cutting, you know, Fort Pickens, we're cutting people from the Department of the Interior, we're cutting all of these different agencies. Are they cutting Secret Service too? I mean, I hope not.
Good question.
But, you know, are the cuts really across the board? Just a thought. 529 on news. And it shouldn't be, but that's the point. Cuts should be strategic, should be based on merit and good evaluation. And if you're having to email the employees to justify your job to me, and then we're going to count that as a resignation if you don't answer, and then after your midnight email at 2 a.m., somebody sends out an email, oh, the Department of Defense is not going to participate in this process. It looks chaotic. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Chaos isn't necessarily bad. President Trump is clearly in there as a massive change and reform candidate. It's going to be a hot mess until things settle out and shake out. I'm not sure that it has to be quite this messy. It seems like there are ways to do things that might not be quite so disruptive. Then again, if you're going to send out a give me the five things you did last week email or else, you don't want to give people warning that it's coming. The whole point is you should be ready for the pop quiz already. Don't have to work up to it and prepare your answers.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Federal workers are given until midnight tonight to respond to a Saturday email announced by Trump DOGE cost-cutting team leader Elon Musk. Describe last week's accomplishments.
If you can't name five things that you did last week, then you should not be on the government payroll.
Trump advisor Jason Miller on Fox. Maryland Senate Democrat Chris Van Hollen on CBS Face the Nation.
What he's doing is trying to dismantle very important services that benefit all of the American people to make room for tax cuts for very rich people and billionaires, people like Elon Musk.
The heads of some federal agencies, though, including the State Defense and Homeland Security Departments and the FBI, tell employees to that email. President Trump's naming right-wing pundit, former New York City police officer and Secret Service agent Dan Bongino is deputy FBI director. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 50 degrees right now. It's a cloudy morning here in Pensacola. Mobile home fire last night being investigated as a possible arson. Firefighters were called to a mobile home on Wales Avenue. This happened about midnight. That trailer was already 50% engulfed at the time firefighters were called. Firefighters say nobody was injured. There were no occupants inside of that structure. Looks like there's new offer on the table for Escambia County's OLF 8 property.
We received an offer from Tri-W for OLF 8. The number attached to the offer was $42,500,000.
That's County Administrator Wes Moreno. Tri-W withdrew another offer for that same amount last month. The proposal includes earnest money of $100,000, a 180-day inspection period, and closing 45 days after that. Tri-W is a partnership between Alabama-based Jim Wilson and associates and local developers Chad Henderson, former Pensacola Mayor Ashton Hayward. Well, art lovers will soon have a new mural to look at in downtown Pensacola. It's going to be on a building being developed at 100 West Garden. It's currently the office for the Pensacola Division of Adams Homes. It'll also have a restaurant and some office space. Once a renovation there is completed, the mural will be 36 feet tall and a composite of landmark images from around Pensacola, including the Pensacola Beach Sailfish and the Beach Ball Water Tower, the Blue Angels, UFO House, and also a portrait of Tristan Da Luna. That mural will be visible from Balin Street. It was recently approved by the County Architectural Review Board. One person has died in a fire in Santa Rosa County. That happened early on Saturday morning on Shimmering Pines Road. Officials say multiple agencies responded, including Pace, Avalon, Allentown, Skyline, and Escambia Fire Department. So far, there's no word on the cause. The fire does remain under investigation. Well, a search underway to find a Brevard County man that may have hurt a child in Lake County. Police in Tavares are looking for Palm Bay's 36-year-old Andre Duane Walker. It's part of an investigation into the case of a 10-year-old boy currently in critical condition in a hospital in Orlando. The boy was brought to the hospital in Tavares on Saturday with bruises and burn marks. His mother was arrested, Kimberly Mills. She's charged with aggravated child abuse. Walker wanted for being an accessory after the fact in that case. Three boaters that ran into problems in Florida waters are safe thanks to the U.S. Coast Guard. Those three people went boating on Saturday. A family member contacted the Coast Guard at about 1 o'clock Sunday morning after not hearing from the people for over 5 hours. A helicopter found the boaters near Captiva. They were sitting on top of their boat, which had capsized. A Coast Guard boat was called in. The three people were taken safely on board. Right now, there's no word on what caused their boat to capsize. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Austin.
Our worst-looking spot right now on the roads is going to be if you are traveling southbound on Palafox Street, just passing Tahar Drive. Got some sudden congestion causing us some issues there. Outside of that, it's just a couple of the spots we've already been touching on. There was some congestion on Highway 98 if you were traveling westbound towards Fairfield Drive, but that has seemingly cleared out. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives. David?
Thank you very much, Austin. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. A wet start to your day, but those showers come to an end as you head into the afternoon. High near 64 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 51. Going into Tuesday, sunny skies with a high near 70 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 52. Keeping sunshine around on Wednesday with a high near 70 and a low near 59. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. 50 degrees across the area. A little bit cloudy and rainy this morning. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Jennifer Squarta with Your Money Now. U.S. Treasury yields included higher this morning, inched higher this morning as investors look to a busy week ahead with a flurry of economic data due, including a key inflation readings and insight on housing. Apple announced plans this morning to bring online a 250,000 square foot factory in Texas by 2026 to build artificial intelligence servers and will add about 20,000 research and development jobs across the U.S. Apple said it plans to spend $500 billion in the United States over the next 4 years. Seed strapping, or raising one round of funding and scaling profitability from there, is gaining popularity among startup founders amid a downturn in venture capital markets. Artificial intelligence is helping startup founders become more efficient for less money, thus minimizing the need to raise venture capital. Futures are up as the Dow Industrials finished down 748 on Friday. The NASDAQ was down 438, S&P down 104. That's your money now.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Item number 43, items from the board, resolution to elect superintendent referendum.
The referendum question will be presented to the voters in the 2026 election cycle, and then the superintendent, if it is successful, then the next election for superintendent will be in 2028.
I brought this to the board, and the reason I brought it to the board is the overwhelming majority of the community has asked me to do this.
So we're going to do this again. God. Okay. So the voice you heard there, this is the school board meeting from last week. That's David William. He's the chair of District 3. Cindy Odom is the attorney for the Escambia County School. What did they change? The Escambia County Public School District, but it's the Escambia County School Board. Not a big fan of the name changes if you haven't figured that out over the years. It's just more things for me to remember. And then Tom Harrell, who is the District 5 representative. District 5? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Who's where? Yeah, District 5. The northern, basically from I-10 north. Okay. Not exactly 9 miles, something like that. But anyway, mostly that's how it works. So he says, people have been asking me for this everywhere all the time since I ran as a candidate.
When I was campaigning, this whole community seemed to be focused on this. It started when I was collecting petition cards. And everywhere I went, that was the number one issue on people's minds, was elected superintendent. They had a not-so-good feeling about what had happened to us before with this mission.
Meaning people feel like, well, what? Did they feel like the vote snuck up on them when we, I mean, this was the most widely publicized political issue in the county at the time. We had the vote, and it won relatively narrowly. Okay, I'm trying to remember if it was about 55 or 60%. I don't remember it being, it wasn't super close, but it wasn't a landslide either, as I recall. I could be wrong. But so now we're going to do this again, like we're going to vote again, whether to have an appointed or an elected. Of course, what happened is we had, you know, Malcolm Thomas was the elected for several terms, and then we switched over to having an appointed. That was supposed to fix all the problems. And then we had Tim Smith, and we didn't fix any of the problems. And now we have Keith Leonard, who by everybody's acknowledgement is, like, fantastic at this. And the people who were talking about this in the board meeting were, you know, very clear to explain that this really wasn't a criticism of Keith Leonard.
This has nothing to do with the wonderful superintendent we have now. It's about giving the people what they want and what they've said repeatedly that they want to do.
So 437-1620. Do you want, because there's two questions, right? Do you want to go back to having an elected superintendent in Escambia County? That's a question. The second question is, do you think we ought to have a vote again? I'm kind of the opinion that you shouldn't vote on an issue like this more than once a decade. Do it 2018, 2028 at the earliest. Now, we're going to almost be there, because it's going to go on the ballot in 2026 and then, you know, or 2026, and then it's going to be 2028, I guess, before it ever gets implemented. So that's almost a decade. But I, even voting on it 8 years later seems a bit premature. Carissa Bragash, who is the District 4 representative.
I spoke to many people in this district and in the community as well, and they are all for appointed. The appointment came through our voting. In 2018, the county spoke, 2018. The school board revisited it in 2023. It also did not pass. So So appointment is the way to go.
I mean, how many times are we going to bring it up, I think, is kind of the argument there, which maybe you can revisit something, but it just seems like we've had two superintendents. One who was not as good as we would hope, okay, and one who is both appointed. I'll be honest, I don't really understand the passion around this issue. And you know me, I care about education, I care about politics and government, and I find that I don't know that it matters a whole lot. I mean, I think it matters, obviously, but I wasn't all that passionate about switching. I'm not all that passionate about switching back or even having the vote. I do think there's a problem when you keep kind of going back and forth on it. So I'm curious what you think. Do you think we ought to be having the referendum, and do you want to see a return to the elected superintendent? Lots of thoughts about this. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you're a professional builder, like you build things for a living, you're in the construction industry, Pensacola Hardware is your place. And even if you're like, well, but I don't go, I know, trust me, like go. Commercial Construction Supply, that's what they do. The warehouse is there. And the knowledge and the service and the ability to do special orders. If you need something, they do special orders for people all day long. Things that, you know, might be hard to get or, you know, might be unsure about getting. People who need specified products like architects and engineers, they do this for folks all the time. Kind of like, you know, think of them as they are the general practitioner, the GP, the doctor you go to for everything. But they're also the specialist. And if you need something, they can get it for you. And, you know, they work with professional builders all the time. How much does it cost you when you send a guy to the store? Because they can send it to your job site. Put it, you know, on a monthly bill. You don't have to, you know, pay it every single time that you just all kinds of little things like that. They have been people, they've been helping people do this for 170 plus years. I mean, since 1851, like the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire country. Before there was Levi's, there was Pensacola Hardware. This is what they do, is help people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. 645 News Radio 92.3. Austin Price is in today for John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives. John, or Austin?
Yeah,
I just said the name and then, you know, habits.
You can
Sorry.
Call me John, sure. This update brought to you by Lear Capital. Our financial system is cracking under pressure and your retirement is at risk. Take control now as Lear Capital is offering a free Sky High Silver Report and Precious Metals IRA Guide at betternestegg.com. Don't leave your future to chance. Again, that is betternestegg.com. Just a couple of issues on the roads here. Do have some backup still on Palafox Street if you're traveling southbound passing to Hard Drive. And we do have some traffic developing on Gulf Breeze Parkway if you are traveling eastbound towards the Windhaven Beach area. That's actually as you are bleeding into Navarre, passing Navarre Beach. So be on the lookout for that as well. I'm Austin Price with your Traffic on the Fives. Andrew?
Thanks so much, Austin. Somebody here says, I asked the question, should we have an appointed, should we have an elected, and should we have a vote? And the answer is no and no. Somebody else says, people can change their minds, can't they? I mean, we're talking about people deciding about fluoride. Why fear the people voting on something? Yeah, but the fluoride vote was in the 90s, and I certainly see the argument of it's been almost 30 years since we made that vote. Let's, you know, maybe it's time to look at it again. And I think I'd have the same opinion if it were maybe another 10 years in on having an appointed versus an elected superintendent. Somebody says the former Escambia County teacher, having somebody elected was like having a boss with two faces, one to be a leader that's good for you and one that's trying to get a vote. In this area, those two faces are often in conflict with each other. Somebody else says it's easier to buy a superintendent when you need to buy three board members versus buying a whole community. Somebody says we feel like they took the power away from people when it was changed to appoint the superintendent. We want to go back to the elected superintendent. So I thought Carissa Bergosh actually had, by the way, Kevin Adams' argument on this, school board member, District 1, Kevin Adams, is people have now seen it both ways in recent memory. We've seen it with an elected for a long time, longest time, and we've seen it with an appointed for a time. Let's let people decide now based on what they've observed.
A referendum where we let the people decide is a good thing. They've seen now elected, they've seen two appointed. They may decide it's going to be great to have another appointed, okay? I don't know.
Yeah, and we don't know until they actually do the vote. And, you know, it might well be that the community reaffirms appointed. It might be the community goes back to having elected. Who knows? You know, that's why you have to actually play the game. The one thing, I thought Carissa Bergosh made a really interesting point, and she said when it comes to the elected superintendent, the problem is the elected superintendent spends almost half of their term distracted on running for reelection.
Another thing, campaigns. They're stressful. I see my campaign member out there. Very stressful, wasn't it? Very time-consuming. I was working full-time, and I had to take a lot of leave to campaign. Do we really want a superintendent to be focused on the children for two and a half years, and then the other time kind of focus halfway on children and halfway on his campaign? Do we really want that? I think we do not. We want what's best for children. So that's why I'm voting no.
Because here's kind of where my thinking, I think I lean towards appointed, okay? It's not a super passionate lean, but it's because I think the arguments for elected with this particular position are not that strong. One of the arguments is, well, the community should be in the position of deciding who's going to run the schools. Well, we are through the school board, okay? And granted, take John Peacock's argument that he makes for having an elected county administrator is, it would be the one chance for all of us to collectively have our say over all of us. Because, you know, like I live in District 3, I don't really have a say. I mean, it's going to be a Democrat, you know, so I don't really have a say. But if we had a district-wide elected superintendent, then I would have a say in that. And I understand his argument. I'm sympathetic to it. Same thing, you know, that's for county administrator, but same thing here for the school superintendent. If you have a superintendent that's elected countywide, then everybody has a say in that. The best argument that I can tell on the other side is, who do you want as a superintendent? Somebody who is elected and therefore good at campaigning and good at advertising and raising money, which is what it takes to be elected. Or do you want somebody who's good at administering schools? If you have to pick, do you want somebody popular or somebody skilled? You say, well, can't they be both? I mean, sure, they can. But having an elected prioritizes the ability to get votes. And having an appointed prioritizes professional expertise. Without concern about whether somebody's going to get votes. Now, they both have to be popular. If you have an unpopular superintendent, they're going to have trouble no matter what. And if you have an unskilled superintendent, they're going to have trouble no matter what. But each process prioritizes one over the other. And for those who think, well, I don't know how we cannot have an elected superintendent, my question, and I mean this not in jest, I mean this sincerely, is, well, where do you draw the line? Should we elect the IT director? Should we elect the assistant superintendent? Should we elect the director of transportation? The school attorney? What about principals? Should we elect principals? I mean, by the way, in some places, you know, the school district is the size of the school, right? So, like, we have a weird system in Escambia, well, in Florida, having whole counties be whole school districts. That's weird. And it creates problems. You know, you could make the argument that electing the principals makes sense. Like, you know, that's closest to the community. That's direct say in the input of who's going to run things. I mean, I think you could actually make a pretty good case. You ought to elect principals. But we don't. But why not? I mean, if you're going to believe in elections, believe in elections. Well, because we want people who are capable, skilled administrators, not necessarily people who are the best out at, you know, knocking on doors and talking to people and putting out flyers and raising money. Agreed. Same argument goes against an elected superintendent. You know, do we elect the football coach? What about the art teacher? Seriously, why, if the goal is to get the best person in the office, under what circumstances does it make more sense to elect them versus appointing them? And it seems to me that lean, if you're looking for the best as opposed to the most popular, the lean goes to appointed. But honestly, I like the argument that they're at least local, you know, for an elected. Right? I mean, but Keith Leonard, part of the advantage of Keith Leonard is he's been here forever. Tim Smith was not from here, and that showed, and that was a problem. And we said that would be a problem, but they did a, you know, nationwide search and found the person they thought was the best, and they made a mistake. You know? And now they've made a very good choice. Of course, Keith's in the drop. That means he's going to retire. And it was not clear to me from the meeting, I think he's going to run. It seemed for sure like he was going to run, and then I listened to the clip again. I'm not too sure which way it goes. But, I got to always avoid making these decisions based on the individual, you know, that you're looking at. And, of course, nationwide, the vast majority of school districts are appointed as opposed to elected. That doesn't carry a lot of weight with me particularly. But I'll give you one example that, you may find it useful. There are going to be people who would make very good hires, generically speaking, right? Like, because either way you can get to the hire. Somebody who'd make a very good superintendent that has no interest in campaigning, that would not be good at campaigning. In fact, you're disqualifying people from the office by making them campaign for it. And I'll give you one example that's not related to the school district per se, but some people often text me or ask me this question, Andrew, when are you going to run for office? And my answer is I'm not. You know why? I do not want to run for office. I don't think I'd be any good at it, frankly, running. You know, doing it, sure. Running, no. I'd be terrible at it. I wouldn't enjoy it. I would hate it. All the money stuff, all of it. Every aspect of running for office, I never want to do. I'm too much of a coward, whatever you want to call me. I don't care. But if somebody, if the governor reached down from Tallahassee and said, Andrew, I'm making you the commissioner for District 3, I'm in. I will take it, but I'm not running for it. There are a lot of people like that who would not either be good at campaigning or would not be willing to campaign, but who would make a good superintendent. And you got to consider that, in my opinion. You should consider that. 655 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I've got a bunch of texts. We'll try to get to these texts after the break. I do have Shaun of the South tickets, though. Thursday, February 27th, that's this Thursday, 7:30 at the Sanger Theater, 100th anniversary event for the theater featuring Shaun Dietrich, the columnist, humorist, and musician, and storyteller. If you enjoy his stuff in Newsweek, Southern Living, and Reader's Digest, you can hear him in person, win a pair of tickets, be caller number 3 right now, 437-1620, 437-1620. Austin Price has got traffic on the 5s.
Just got a couple of issues here on the roads. Traveling eastbound on Highway 90, just passing Blackwater River. We've got some minor congestion in that area. It's looking significantly worse on Navarre Parkway. That's Highway 98. If you are traveling eastbound towards Windhaven Beach, outside of that, there's not much holding you up at this time. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the 5s.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Grand Mardi Gras Parade is Saturday, beginning at 2. Join in the true showcase of community spirit and celebration. Get all the info at PensacolaMardiGras.com. Sunday is the Mardi Gras Parade with Island Atmosphere. The Crew of Wrecks Parade rolls at 2 on Pensacola Beach. See PensacolaBeachMardiGras.com. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wake up. Time to die.
Oh, man, I just watched Blade Runner over the last couple of days. That is... one of my all-time favorite movies. My wife had never seen it. She agreed to watch it. And it's always rough when somebody who is likely not to love a movie watches somebody for whom that movie is like their favorite thing ever. Just kind of relax and just live with the results. 658 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, man, a bunch of texts here. At least with the vote for an elected superintendent, we get what we deserve. I want DOGE for the Escambia County Public School System. The school board made a less than optimal choice first time. They want to blame the process rather than taking responsibility. Why would you want to choose from a pool of 3 when you can choose from thousands? So they want an appointed superintendent. I would be totally for electing the football coach. Oh, my God, can you imagine? Somebody says, we definitely don't elect the radio host. Yeah, you do. I mean, that's what, ratings and buying from our advertisers and, calls and emails and participation. You do, not in any official way, but, you do sort of indirectly. School board representative is just one person out of the group, and that's less power for the public to get rid of a bad superintendent. The superintendent drives the whole district. Somebody says our school board is scared of criticism of appointing again, so they want elected. Well, two of them voted against it. It was a 3-2 vote. Carissa Bergosh and David Williams voted to keep the appointed superintendent, by the way. Somebody says, oh, Lordy, do I ever agree with you on this one? Somebody says the sad part about campaigning is, your appointments will sling so much mud that it's just not worth it. Agreed. Yeah. David, you have a quick headline for us? Sorry, I jacked us up against the back of the hour here.
Yeah, that's all right. I do 5 minutes a day of light exercise could cut the risk of dementia. That's according to a new study from Johns Hopkins, the Bloomberg School of Public Health. They found that 35 minutes of moderate to vigorous exercise per week was linked to a 41% lower risk of dementia.
At moderate, you have me at vigorous, I'm out.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.